story about a man who had a heart attack. And he was rushed to the hospital, and he was told while he was there that this was a very bad heart attack and that he could not risk ever being excited, certainly not while he was in the hospital ever again, because it could kill him. And so he's in the hospital, and he's under strict rules. He can't receive very many visitors. He can't be too excited. And about this same time, the family gets word that he had a very distant, ultra-rich great-uncle who died and who left him $100 million. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money. I mean, that's just a lot of money. And the family was really worried that he was going to be so excited about all of this money that was going to be coming to him unexpectedly that he would die. And so they talked about how do we tell him without him getting too excited? And so they decided they're going to ask the preacher to do it. Hey, pastor, why don't you go and tell him that he's inherited $100 million, but do it gently so he doesn't get too excited. So the pastor goes and gradually in a conversation leads up to the subject of money and finally says, well, what would you do if you inherited, maybe $100 million? And the man laying in the bed there with the tubes going into him and the machine going, doom, doom, doom. He thinks about it for a minute and he says, you know, preacher, I don't know. I guess given how I've survived this heart attack and how I have a new lease on life, I think I'd give half of it to the church. And the preacher died. With excitement like that, it's just overwhelming excitement, unexpected shock. Of course he died. Wow. Joy and excitement in giving. The point is this, Paul writes to the Corinthians, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's exactly what this man was. He was cheerfully giving back to God that which he had received in thanksgiving for being alive. Wow. Now, if you're thinking, you know, I've heard this recently. You did. You heard it last year during our budget campaign, our pledge campaign for last year's budget. Our theme last year was God loves a cheerful giver. Our study, our scripture lessons for the Sundays went up to that point, and that was the focus of our study last year in our pledge campaign. This year, that's where we begin. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, our focus, though, is on the middle portion of this passage, that he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest of your righteousness. That's the focus for our pledge campaign this year, Seeds for Sowing. And today we're going to look at this passage from 6 until 7, where it says that if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully, followed by this phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, my mother, when I was growing up, my mother used to say, you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow. Usually it came when I did something that I should not have done. If I'd done something bad, Mom would say, Greg, you reap what you sow. You're going to regret it, but you reap what you sow. Today is my mother's birthday, and I was reminded of how she used to say that to me repeatedly when I would do something that I should not have done. You reap what you sow. But actually, this is a reference here to reaping positively when you sow positively. The warning is if you reap sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. That's actually a spiritual principle. Now, there are different religions have different ways of talking about it. The Eastern religions talk about this as being karma. But in Christianity and Judaism, we talk about reaping and sowing. And the reality is that if you do not invest, if you do not place time and attention and interest in it, you're not going to get much out of it. I told you all a few weeks ago about my great aunt Witchy. Her name was Lucy, but my grandfather couldn't pronounce her name when he was born, and so he called her Uchi, and it came out Witchy, and so everybody called her Witchy until the day she died. She was an amazingly huge woman, and she was the prayer of our family. If you wanted prayer, you'd go to Witchy, and you'd say, I need prayer, and you'd tell her what you need, and she would then say, okay, honey, I'll pray for you, and then you would know that you had been prayed for. You would know that she had prayed for you. You would feel it deep down in your gut. You had been prayed for when you asked for prayer from Witchy. And then sometimes she would call you and she would say, Greg, I prayed for you and God said. And then she'd tell you what God said. And it was like I can remember saying, how did she get those kinds of answers? I would pray, I don't get anything. How could she pray and get an answer? I wanted to know that, even to this day. She was such an amazing prayer. And I asked her one time, how do you get that? How do you get those answers? How do you hear God speak to you? And she says, well, honey, when you pray a whole lot, you can hear a whole lot. When you spend time in prayer, a lot of time in prayer, you can hear God speak to you in Scripture, in hymns, in the sunset, in the words of your friends, or that voice in the back of your head. She was the one who taught me that if you hear a voice in the back of your head saying things to you that you don't want to hear, warning you, telling you to stop doing something, telling them what you're doing is wrong and what you want to do is wrong, that's usually God's voice. You usually got the right one. She was the one who taught me that principle too. What she's saying is simple. If you don't sow time in prayer with God, if you don't sow your time in prayer with God, then you're not going to reap much of a response. Doesn't mean that God won't respond. God is amazing. In God's grace, God is amazing. God does respond frequently when we pray in those bad times, in those hard times, in those fearful times, in those times that we need God. And if we haven't prayed other times, we pray then. Frequently, it's amazing. God does respond. We do hear it even. But we can't expect it. Not that He won't speak. God always responds. Can't expect to hear and receive, to understand the response. Usually we're listening in the wrong way at the wrong time for the wrong thing. Sometimes God's answer is no, or not right now, or not in this way, or sometimes just no. We don't want to hear that, so God didn't answer us. Her principle is sound. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. If you do not sow your time in prayer, in presence, in gifts, in service, in witness, if you do not sow your time through all the many means of grace, do not expect a harvest, a response. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you so bountifully, you will reap bountifully. We're each called to be givers. We're each called to be sowers, sowing that which we have received, sowing our time, sowing our talents, sowing our gifts and graces, those things that we have received, that we have been given, sowing our prayers, sowing our presence, sowing our gifts, our service, and our witness. We're called to be sowers. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't understand that meant planting seeds. I only heard sowing as in a sowing machine, but it works there too. When we sow into the family of God, when we sow of our time, when we sow of our presence, when we sow of our prayers, when we sow of our gifts and our service and our witness, when we sow ourselves into the family of God, that knitting together of us with God and with each other brings strength and wholeness together. English is great in that way. Different spelling, different meaning, same sound. And in a sense, it works too. We're called to engage in the spiritual disciplines and sow ourselves into the good soil of God's grace. What we give, there's a reciprocity here. What we give, we receive. We're called to give generously, not out of compulsion, Paul writes. For God loves a cheerful giver. That the Greek word cheerful is hilarion, and it's usually pronounced with that aspirant H, hilarion. We get an English word from hilarion, the word hilarious, hilarity. God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a glad giver. A giver that gives not because they've been whipped on and told to do it, but because they want to do it. They want to give. It's in God's grace that they give. It's by God's blessings that they give. It's because of God's presence that they give. God loves a hilarious, cheerful, joyful, laughing with joy giver. Augustine, who was a bishop in the 4th century of the church, wrote, "Where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And where your heart is, there is your happiness." And that word in Greek is the same word Paul uses here in Corinthians. There is your hilariousness, your hilarity, your joyfulness, your gladness, your cheerfulness. Again, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart, and where your heart is, there is your happiness. Wow. If you ever want to know what your priorities are, what your hilarity is, what your happiness is, where your heart is, look at what you're doing. Look at how you spend your time. Look how you spend your money. If you want to see what your priorities are, take a look at how you spend your time and how you spend your money. Where do you find greatest worth in your life? Is it in yourself? Is it in your family? Is it in your pets or your sports or your television show or your readings, your hobbies? Or is it in your marriage, your faith, your walk with God? Where do you spend your time? And where do you spend your money? That's where your priority is. And that is where you're sowing it. And if you sow it sparingly to God, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And sowing bountifully means sowing with great rejoicing, great cheerfulness, gladness, and hilarity. The man who was in the hospital having had the severe heart attack, He was asked a very simple question, not knowing that he had inherited $100 million. He was asked the simple question, what would you do with that $100 million? What would happen if you got it? And his response, I'd give half to the church. He said it with hilarity, with rejoicing, having received so much, having received his life. Sad that the pastor couldn't believe it, and he died. We should all be willing to give, to sow hilariously to God. There's a poem, the author's unknown, was sent to me this past week by someone, one of you in this congregation. Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve to a guest. And yet we serve them to our Lord, who deserve the very best. We give to God leftover time, stray minutes here and there. Leftover cash we give to God, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. And then in declining years we give to God the remnant of our life. Wow. We don't give God our leftovers. We give God, we sow to God, we sow in God's gracious grace and love. We sow into God's presence, into the family of faith. We sow all that we have in our in thanksgiving and in celebration with hilarity. Not out of compulsion, but because God's grace and God's Spirit moves through us and so enables us and enkindles in us the desire to give. Let me dwell in the name of the Father and of the Son.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.